Several thousand people took to the streets of Belfast on Saturday to show their opposition to any changes in abortion law here. They marched from Custom House Square to the City Hall and back. A small group of pro-choice demonstrators gathered at the front of the City Hall in protest. Northern Ireland's Justice Minister David Ford has said he's going to consult on changing abortion laws to allow women carrying babies with fetal abnormalities to have a termination. But so far the consultation has been delayed. The Justice Minister is with us now this morning. Why the delay, Minister? Why?
Well, you refer to the specific issue of terminal fetal abnormalities, Stephen. There are also two other issues which have been raised in recent time. The first is the issue of premises, when there was an attempt to amend previous legislation which would have made abortions in those small number of cases where they're legal in Northern Ireland illegal if they weren't performed on NHS premises. And the third issue is the issue which has also been raised about abortion in the case of rape and incest. The issue of premises is really one mostly for the Department of Health, in fact, probably exclusively for the Department of Health. The other two relate more to the Department of Justice. And I have written to the Health Minister to seek his agreement to do a joint consultation on all three issues, because I believe that's the best way of addressing the matter.
Has he replied?
He hasn't replied yet.
When did you write him?
I can't tell you exactly. It wasn't that terribly long ago, but on the basis that his officials have been talking to my officials about the issue, I hoped it wouldn't take too long to get a response from him.
So you're going to consult on all three issues together, is that right?
Well, my preference would be that we should consult on all three issues together, because all three relate to the issue of abortion, although they're all about different aspects of abortion.
What's your reaction to the street protests? Several thousand people took part in these protests to show their opposition to any changes in abortion law here.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, because it's quite clear that there are a significant number of people who are opposed to the introduction of any legislation relating to abortion. I think what we also see is there's a reasonably substantial number who would be prepared to consider modest changes to the law. And obviously the issue which was highlighted in the case of Sarah Hewitt about fetal abnormality is one key issue. And there are, of course, others who would wish to see a much wider range of abortion opportunities, the pro-choice position.
And what's your position as leader of the Alliance Party? Do you think there should be, as you term it, modest changes?
Well, I don't have a position as leader of the Alliance Party, because the issue is an issue of conscience within the Alliance Party, as indeed it is in most political parties.
Well, you have a personal position as an individual MLA.
And I'm quite happy to tell you about my personal position, as indeed I've told people like Bernie Smith my personal position over the years. My personal position is I do not wish to see the full pro-choice position, the so-called 67 Act introduced in Northern Ireland. I do, however, believe that there are some very difficult cases, and fetal abnormality is the absolute example of that, where if a fetus is not viable out of the womb, then forcing a woman who doesn't feel able to bear that to carry to full term is, in my opinion, wrong. There are certainly women who, given that news, would wish to carry to full term, and they should be supported. But I believe that if there is no chance of a viable life for fetus outside the womb, then we should offer the opportunity of termination to women in those circumstances.
You know, cynics would suggest that the reason this has been delayed is so that it is after the elections, and so that you avoid the controversy around that and the split in the electorate around that.
Well, sorry, which elections are you talking about after? As far as I'm aware, we're due to have a Westminster election next year, we're due to have an Assembly election the following year. There's always an election coming up. It's certainly not a matter of avoiding elections, as far as I'm concerned.
If it had been done, David, when it was scheduled to be done, it would have been right in the middle of the election campaign. It was scheduled to be done last year, wasn't it? Earlier this year.
The hope was, but it was quite a complicated issue. And we've also had, for example, representations from the Human Rights Commission, which is demanding that I should do a consultation based on an intention to move to legislate quite widely, which I do not believe is the mood of the people of Northern Ireland, and it's certainly not my personal position. The ways in which we would define fetal abnormality are quite complex. There's been a lot of discussion between officials in the Department of Justice and medical authorities, officials in the Department of Health and so on. All that has taken rather longer than we would have hoped it would have taken, but there's no point in proceeding to a consultation document unless you're sure you've got the facts right, you've got the terminology right, and in something particularly as significant an issue as abortion, it's absolutely essential that we get complete clarity.
David, let me, before you go this morning, let me ask you about our top story today and the lack of clarity around what the graduated response is going to be from the unionist community. Gregory Campbell has now told this programme the public will be told before Saturday, probably tomorrow. Have you any inkling what the graduated response should be? What the graduated response will be?
I'm glad you changed that. I have no inkling of what is planned. What I do know is I was sitting with colleagues when the two unionist parties walked out of the all-party talks last week. That was the place where we should have been discussing these complex issues, and not just the issue of a single parade, but the principles behind parading regulation, the same as we looked at the issue of flags and emblems, the same as we owe a deep obligation to the victims of the past to deal with the past in a comprehensive way, which meets their needs and which also is affordable, because I know as Minister of Justice that there are huge problems with the justice system, unable to afford from the budget for today the work that needs to be done about the past as well. So those are the kind of issues which should have been addressed in a comprehensive way, in a joined-up way, in an all-party way,
and Mike,
by people walking out and forming some kind of pan-unionist front.
Mike Nesbitt, leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, obviously, has said that he would be against street protests. The DUP, it seems, will not be drawn on it. What is your position? Because as a Democrat, you must support the right to freedom to protest, and yet you must acknowledge the dangers that come with it when it's here in Northern Ireland over something as contentious as this.
Well, there is certainly the right in any democracy of the freedom to protest, but that freedom to protest is not a freedom unfettered. It is a freedom within the grounds of lawful activity and peaceful activity. And what we have seen, sadly, over the last 18 months in particular, is that when unionist leaders have talked about protests, young men who haven't listened to the precise language but have simply heard the word protest are out on the streets engaging in violence, and over 600 young men in the last 18 months have acquired a criminal record. Many of them have gone to jail because of their activities at a time when unionist leaders make speeches and then they go home to their beds at night. That's what worries me. The pressures on the police service, the reality of young men getting a criminal record because they half listen to what's being said. And I think any talk of protests is extremely dangerous. The way to resolve the issue of parading is to have engaged in the proper talks which were set up to discuss that issue, not to the minute one issue comes through on one parade out of 4,000 walk out of those talks. It's very easy to walk out in a huff. People need to know on what basis they're going to come back, because someday the five parties are going to have to resolve these issues.
And finally,
preferably with the help of the two governments at an appropriate stage as well.
And finally, David, another story we're going to be covering after 10 o'clock this morning involves your party colleague, Anna Lowe, a picture of whom, one of her election posters, is on the top of a bonfire at the Oakwood Road in the Woodburn Estate in Carrickfergus. What's your reaction to this?
Well, I believe it's not just one poster. I was told that there were a number of posters. I think it's an indication of why we need to ensure that we actually regulate bonfires. I mean, I saw an interesting comment in the press on Saturday from Roy Beggs, Ulster Unionist MLA, complaining about the quantity of tyres. I entirely agree with him that there should be no tyres on bonfires. I also agree that bonfires should not be lit where they're potentially going to damage electricity lines.
But it's against the law, and there seems to be no jurisdiction in this country when there's something against the law like that.
And I also believe that that putting other people's posters, the same as putting Polish flags and Irish flags, as we've seen in past years, on bonfires, is very clearly an issue of hatred, which needs to be resisted by all responsible people.
Martina Anderson's poster is on the top of the bonfire as well. What do you think it says? What statement does it say when someone's poster is on a bonfire? What do you think the people who put it there are trying to say?
Well, it's hard to imagine that they're doing anything other than showing hatred and whipping up fears and whipping up tensions by carrying out such activities.
Do you think
it's not a joke. It is a very serious statement of hatred. In particular, it's noticeable that the two posters are both of women, one from Alliance and one for Sinn Féin.
Well, do you think when the, given that the police went in and took the flag of the Ku Klux Klan down last week, do you think the police should be seen to be moving in and taking those posters off that bonfire to show that that they have the power, not some people that decide they're going to put towers and posters on bonfires? Let me make the question more succinct. Should the police walk in and take those posters off that bonfire?
But, Stephen, whilst many politicians might have views on what police officers should and shouldn't do, as Minister of Justice, I'm always extremely careful that I don't interfere in operational matters. What we do need to ensure is that the law is strengthened in a way which prohibits environmental damage, which prohibits incitement to hatred, and which ensures that we actually start to work to genuinely build a shared future and not one in which people stake half of what they want.
Yeah.
You know, and claim that is somehow a shared future.
I hear that, David, but and this is my final question. I hear what you're saying, but I wonder if it's a cop-out for this reason. Sure, you don't want to get involved in operational matters as the Justice Minister, but when you have tyres on a bonfire and that is clearly illegal, that is clearly against the law, it is completely within your remit as the Justice Minister to say, well, hold on a minute, if the law is being broken, it is for the police to act.
Well, the strict technical answer to that is, if the law is being broken or potentially being broken, it is for the police to decide an appropriate response in all the circumstances they have to deal with.
Okay. David, thank you. Morning
to
you.